Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen auf dem 38. DocFest in München. Welcome to the 38th edition of the Munich Documentary Film Festival. I want to welcome you today from the Deutsche Theater Silbersaal, where we will record this talk about the film Skepwende. And the film already had two screenings at the festival, and here it was the German premiere. It's a Brazilian production, and we show the film in the panorama section, and it's nominated for the Audience Award, but I will talk about that later. Our guests today are Mariana Thome and Lucas de Barro. Both are filmmakers, and we are very happy that we have the chance to talk to them. And yeah, for the people who might not have seen the film yet, can you explain very shortly what it's about?
Sure.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Hello, everyone.
Go on, Mari.
Of course. Skepwende is a movie about this man, Jonathan Shaw, who used to be a very famous tattoo artist in New York, especially during the 90s. It kind of revolutionized what tattoo was over there and what tattoo became in the world, but also about his entire life, his struggles with his family, how his family, he came from a very kind of like celebrity family in Los Angeles, and his upbringing around all sorts of American and actually also Latin American pop culture.
And your film really covers a lot. Like, it's very impressive. It really goes from the beginning to the current situation and his current life right now. And I've seen there's also a book. He wrote a book about himself. So what was first? Was the film first or was the book first? Or did you decide to make the film because of the book? How did this whole project come to you?
Yes. So the book existed as a very, very, very rough draft that had like 1,300 pages that Jonathan like made us read in because he would like test us on the book as well. But the book only reaches basically he barely arrives in Brazil in the book. So the book touches a lot of his childhood, a lot about his family and his struggles kind of there, but it doesn't go all the way into his life. So it was a good way of digging deep into his story and knowing things that are important for you to know as a filmmaker, but not exactly the way that we wanted to tell the movie. Mm. Of course, we like grabbed snippets of the movie, especially of like his early childhood days and his kind of like situation in Los Angeles, and we put it in the movie. But that was how it happened. But so the movie and the book are kind of like at the same time, the way that we created. Because the book was released in 2017, which was when we were filming the documentary as well. Like, it was the year where we filmed the most. So
yeah, I think when we started working on the film, Jonathan was working on the book. So he used to send us the drafts and see what we could use to help with the filmmaking. And the idea of the film came way before we knew that even was there this memoir book that he was writing. Like, we started having the project and the idea, and during the process of making the film said, oh, I'm writing this book, like, you should read it, and you know, it's gonna help you with the ideas and in my history, so I don't have to tell you everything, I'm already writing everything, so he gave it to us, and then that's where, you know, They kind of went together. While we were making the film, he was editing the book, and you know.
That sounds really interesting.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. It was a little bit like he would tell me some kind of like anecdote about his life, and then I would say like, "Oh, I didn't know that," and he's like, "It's in the book."
You haven't read it.
Okay, yeah, sounds like a fun challenge.
Yeah, and it was like really big, and he would it was like Mariana said, 1300 pages, and he yeah. would constantly change it and send new versions, and we would have to be, you and know,
you have to read,
read
up.
It again. yeah. It was a big challenge.
So, but how? Yeah, how did the project land with you? So, when was it clear that you will make this film?
Okay, I've known Jonathan like online. He was very, you know, a very online character, right? He had blogs and very big online presence. But I know him since 2005,
okay.
and we kept in touch, you know, regularly online, because I was, you know, like to write as well. I always thought he was interesting, like an interesting character, but I had no idea how big and how interesting he was. But we kept in touch. So around 2013 or 14, we met in Argentina. I was doing a project there, and he was there by chance as well. So we got together, and we spent like 10 days in Argentina together, and we talked a lot about, you know, films and ideas and all this stuff. So I asked him, look, I would like to make a film about him. He was living in Brazil at the time, and I didn't know the whole scope of his influence and his story. I just thought he was like, oh, this interesting guy who used to be a tattoo artist in New York, and now it changed his life, lives in Brazil, is a writer. So I didn't. I was thinking of doing like a small niche documentary about this character, you know, like he was an interesting character. And he said, "Yeah, we can do it. I'll go with it." And then I started digging into his life. Oh, this is much bigger than I expected. And then at the same time, he moved. He got a contract, a book deal with Harper's Collins to release his first book. It's called Narcisa. In the US. Yeah. So he moved back to LA for the press and, you know, finishing the book deals and everything. So I was out. This is out of my reach right now. So, but I knew Mariana, and she was living in LA in 2015. It was his book release. So I called her and said, oh, I got this idea for this film about this guy. Maybe you could go there and shoot the book release and for me and see what we can do about it. And she went there and shot the first book release, which is are the images that show in the end of the film, like Jonathan doing some readings. So he did some touring about in the US with the book, you know, releasing the book in San Francisco and some other cities. And she, you know, traveled with him. And then after she did that, she called me and said, yeah, we have a film here. We have to do something about this. It's much bigger than we thought, but yeah, it's a film. And then we took him from there, yeah.
Okay, it sounds like a massive project because it took years. I realized that now when you started in 2017. How was it funded?
Basically we started in 2015 when Lucas called me and we started doing everything. I started doing a lot of research with Jonathan's material, and that was all not funded. That was all just us and our money and like traveling around the like Los Angeles and San Francisco and wherever Jonathan was like doing his book readings. And I had a camera, so I just kept filming it and recording archives and stuff. And then it came to a point in 2016, I went to Cannes. And when I was going to Cannes, I told Jonathan that Iggy Pop was going to be there and Jim Jarmusch was going to be there, because Jim Jarmusch was releasing Patterson and Gimme Danger in Cannes.
Gimme Danger, yeah.
Yeah, which Gimme Danger is the documentary on Iggy Pop. So I was very excited about it. And Jonathan said, look, let's get you to interview them over there. And I didn't manage to interview Jim over there because he was very busy, but I did manage to interview Iggy Pop. And that was the turning point of the movie, because then we had an interview with someone huge on our podcast. So after that, we cut a sizzle, we cut a little sizzle reel. I came back to LA. We interviewed a few other people that Jonathan knew, just so we had like little snippets. And at this time, I was already talking to some people from Whiskey Films, which is the company that then became a part of our project. So they were, when I pitched to them, they were extremely excited. They are very much into America, like Americana culture and all that. So
yeah, pop culture in general. Yeah.
But they're also Latin, so they had this like flavor that we needed in order to understand everything. So that was basically how it happened. First, us just making it happen. And then we were able to catch the attention of Whiskey and Rainbow Lobster then, which is the company of Sebastian, that is basically like our godfather of the movie right now.
Yeah, there's actually, Sebastian was the executive producer and he was in Whiskey at the time. And then he went out and founded Rainbow Lobster. So the two companies, they founded the film like I said, they were really, really helpful with the not only the money but all the support that we needed, and they gave us total creative control. Always believed in the project in us at the same time. So they, like, it was a perfect match for everything.
How many hours of film did you actually like film on different locations in different countries? And you have a lot of archive material as well. It must have been really difficult to combine everything and to select everything.
Yes. I don't know. We shot in Mexico, Los Angeles, New York, Argentina, Brazil. And also, like I said, like a lot of,
Switzerland, Philip
Lewis. Switzerland, Switzerland and San Francisco. It was a lot of material. Also, the archive material was huge. Jonathan is a person that he keeps tracks of everything he does, you know, like you saw the interviews with his parents that we used in the film, and, you know, lots and lots of hours of recorded material, TV stuff about him. And pictures and letters from when he was living in Brazil, letters to his father, to his mother, and all that kind of, you know, and a lot of drawings and pictures of tattoos, the pictures of him and his friends. So yeah, it was a big challenge. We had like two or three editors before we settled with the final editor, with Grace, which was amazing. And she, like, we had many, many different ideas of how to edit it, but when Grace came along, she bridged everything that we had, like, oh, we can use this, we can use that. She really knew how to fix it, you know, the editing part.
Yeah, and I feel like the most important part that I guess we figured out after a lot of trial and error, right? I used to have this spreadsheet where we put everything that we thought was interesting of the project, which kind of became like a blueprint of what the project could be. But you start realizing that you get very attached into little anecdotes or little stories that Jonathan has, because he has a ton of them, and they usually surround famous people and like really cool things that were going on in New York and these things that catch your attention. But we started noticing that we had a lot of little snippets, but they were not forming in a story. Mm. Like, we could have 10 hours of little anecdotes of Jonathan.
So many. It's crazy.
And then when we put together the story of the parents, which was something that we found in the archive, and that begins our third act of the movie, we were like, okay, this is what this movie is about. Because we always knew that. We always knew that it was going to be about a vicious cycle of family, of like returning and becoming your parents, and But we had all this like cool stuff of Jonathan to show. So how do we like manage to work around that and to make people care as well of the character? So that was kind of like the moment where we're like, okay, it's fine. We're getting there.
Yeah,
it sounds like you can get easily distracted because everything is probably like so interesting and you really want to tell it. but it's not what you need at this point. So you had to kill many, many darlings, I guess.
Yeah, too many.
So how was it working with him? Because he seems like a very big personality.
Yeah, yes, you want to
talk? Lucas just stopped, you know. Jonathan is someone who will open all the doors for you. So that was something that, especially for me, because I started working with him when I was 22. I was in the last year of college in the U.S. So it was very interesting to just have like someone be literally like, here's the key to my door. I will not be home all the time, but I will always leave you this huge trunk full of archives. And you go ahead and you dig in and you figure it out what you want to do. At the same time, Jonathan is someone who is very hard on his expectations and what he wants from people. And you see that in the documentary, like that's clear from everyone that we interviewed that has worked with him, especially during Fun City, right? So at the same time that you had to balance this like huge personality that will want a lot of things from you and this person who he's not gonna make it hard for you to get as well. So it was definitely a challenge to go around this the entire time with the movie and with something that you also have to balance the knowledge, right? Like we are the filmmakers, so we are the ones that hold the knowledge of the filmmaking. So it was also like that in the screening rooms and bouncing ideas with him. But overall, we managed, and I think that is the most important.
Yeah. I think after all, like Jonathan really believed not only like in the project, in us, but most of all, he believes in art. So he believed that we're doing something that, oh, this has some artistic value, so let's do it. So he was really open for everything, because some of the stuff we talk about and we show in the film, like it's really hard, you know, like it's heavy. I think if you see the film, you know what I'm talking about. But he was really like totally open for any questions about anything that we had. And that was, I think, the most. Like, if you have that, like, you can manage everything else, but other than, you know, it was not, like Mariana said, he expected high things, but he also made it easy for us to go after. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the most, and then after all, like, in the end, he became a friend, and right now, it's just, like, we're really happy with the result, he's really happy with the result, the company is happy with the result, now we're screening the film and everybody's like we're having good reviews and people are liking it, so we're really happy after all.
Success. Very good.
we hope.
So you took very interesting visual approaches in the filmmaking as well, with your decision on the animation and the music. Did he have anything to say about the animation, for example? Because he used to be an illustrator before he was a tattoo artist.
Yeah, the art was made by an amazing graphic artist here in Brazil called Cizo. He's a good friend of mine. We worked in other projects together. And I called him, like we called him in the beginning just to make the intro of the film, the introduction part, like the opening scene. And after we saw that, we say, oh, we have to do this for the whole film, you know? And so we took like lots of Jonathan's drawings and his little notes and his notebooks, and we gave it to Cizo, and he, from that, all of the artwork is based on that Jonathan's arts and Jonathan's drawings. So in the beginning, it was a little bit. I remember he sent me a voice message. I think I still have it. Like, oh, you're drawing all over my parents' pictures. Like, that's crazy. Because it was like a rough, you know, in the beginning was just a rough. And I went, yeah, but that's, you know, that's what we want. That's the kind of, you know, we have to make it visually appealing. And we had a nice talk about that, and he understood. And, you know, but like I said, it was really like he always supported us in everything that we wanted to do, even though, like, for this is an example where he was like, oh, I'm not sure if this is gonna work, you know, but after he saw it done, it's something that everybody that sees the film, like, oh, this was crazy. It's just like a new thing, like, wasn't done like that before, you know. So yeah, Mariana can talk more about that, but we knew that we had to do something that was visually appealing, because Jonathan's life is always visual, all his work and all his stuff, right?
Yeah, and I feel like moreover, we had a lot of archive, and when you're sitting down and you open those trunks and you're looking at all that archive and you're going through it, it's extremely exciting. But then you take that and you put it in 2D into a screen, and there's nothing around it. And there's just like floating pictures that you zoom in and you zoom out, and it becomes boring. And we were like, why is it boring if it's so exciting? We have to make it exciting again.
It became just like before we had only the pictures and not the artwork. It was just like, oh, pictures, one of those documentaries, you know, like TV docs with lots of pictures. Like, oh, we have to do something about this. And that's how it came along.
It worked out very well.
Thank you.
So what's happening with the film now? Where is it going?
Right now, I don't know if I can tell you our next.
Then don't.
So I won't tell you.
We're doing screening.
And we are still in the Doc Lounge as well. We have a few more screenings in around Finland and Sweden. Bafisi, which is the festival in Argentina that we just were in, they're taking us to their itinerary festival. So they go around Argentina with the movies that they like the most from the festival. And they just, yesterday, they invited us to be one of the movies that they go around. So we're very excited.
Congratulations.
And I'm not going to say anything, but we are coming to North America very soon. So I'm just not
I didn't know that. Okay. You have to tell me that later. Yeah, we have a screening Friday in Doc Munich. We're so sad that we couldn't go. Me and Mariana, we talked so much. Oh, let's go. But, you know, we couldn't. But it was, it's a big festival and this. Well, always a dream to show in festivals the size of Doc Munich, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we couldn't be there.
But it's great that we had the chance to talk to you here now. Thank you very much for that. I think it was great to talk to you. It was a lot of fun, and I think it will be interesting for the audience as well. And I wish you the best of luck and the most success you can have with the film. And I'm sure it will work out fine. It's a great film.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much.
It was a pleasure talking to you all. If you have any questions, we're on Instagram. It's at Skepvender. Just over there, and we'll definitely answer and have a with you all.
Thank you so much. So I'm saying bye to you and also bye to the audience. And please check out the film. I highly recommend take the last chance and watch it in the cinema in Rio. And it's nominated for the Audience Award. And please vote for it. Bye.